Blog Talk Radio.
This is the National Black Summer Talk Show Network coming to you live and in living color all the way from New York City. And, well, actually, I'm not even in New York City today, but I'm giving thanks to New York City and what Sandy left me. But I'm actually in New Hampshire. And I got Henrietta Bird with me. Welcome to the show, Henrietta. Hello, Henrietta. And we're coming to you. She's in Chi-Town. Let me start off by saying the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating a community of possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent, one of power, self-generation, abundance, integrity, responsibility, unity, and the possibility, unity and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, developing, nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, above, below, within, and around. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. And I also want to present the purpose of the International Black Summit, to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And since I'm on that roll, I'm going to also give you what the question is for 2013. What is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled? All right, Henrietta Bird. How are you?
And the purpose of the Youth Summit, as written by the youth, we exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We are young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principles of youth, transformation, love and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. Excuse me.
That's all right. You sound like you need a lozenger there, kiddo.
I need to drink some water.
Okay. Water or some wine, either one. You know, as we are blessed to be thankful for our Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Wine, water, or spirits as an acknowledgement. But I've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, when I look at Sandy and Athena, I was spared by both of them. And did not lose power, and there were a lot of other people that were less fortunate than myself, and have their parts of the Rockaways and Breezy Point and a couple of the other places that don't even have homes to go back to, or if they do, are not. Don't have the heat and the shelter that they need. So, so as I am awoken today, I'm feeling very blessed and very fortunate that the good Lord has provided me an opportunity to create some possibility in the places that I dwell. So what about you? How are you doing?
You know what? I'm just, today was a relaxation day for me, even though I do have one counseling session, but it was just really a day, like you said, of reflection. And this past week of Thanksgiving was one of the most interesting weeks I've ever experienced. It was a week of giving and sharing and receiving also. You know, I had some really, really great experiences this week. I made a decision to give. You know, I said, what is it or who is it that I can give to in a different kind of way? You know, excuse me. Two people came to mind after I asked that question. One was a person that, I see maybe three, four times a year, because we're in the same family, and so I had an opportunity, and I should say have an opportunity, to share some information with them. But I had just a really, really great conversation. This is a week of celebration, I might add also. This past week, it was my sister's birthday, and because this is a really special birthday for her, we celebrated in about four or five different ways. And so, you know, it was a lot of family, you know, a lot of family and what's extended family and all of that. So we had brunch one day and we went out the next day and we did something else the next day or whatever. And so I asked that question, who is it that I could give to? And so I had a conversation with the one person. The other person was someone who had a birthday, and it was someone that I had been kind of at odds with. You know, we had some serious disagreements, and it was their birthday, you know. And so what came to me was to give them a card, you know, to make sure that I gave them a card, because it's a person that if I had not been at odds with them, I would have given a birthday card to, you know. And so I did. And then I actually was able to do that on the actual birthday. Then about two or three days later, I heard, get a cake for them. And so I did, you know. And it was interesting because I didn't know how they would accept it, if they would. You know, I just didn't know, because when I say we have been kind of at odds, we have had some serious, serious disagreements, but we are always kind of cordial to each other. And so I had the opportunity to do that. And then when I did it, you know, when I had the cake made, actually had it made for the person, they weren't home. They weren't in town. And so I just put it in the freezer, you know, because I knew that I would see them in a couple of days. But I called to let them know, you know, that what I was doing, I was actually trying to see if they were home. And it was interesting because just that act of whatever you want to call it, it just opened up the door. You know, it opened up the door for us to have a conversation. Just the thought that I would, in the midst of all of this, have a cake made for them. You know, as we talked and continued to talk, because we did over a couple of days, I found out that they had actually asked in a prayer to have this situation healed. So it really, really has a lot to do with what Thanksgiving really is. You know, when I look at that situation, it was on both parts. It wasn't just on one of us. It was both people were seeking for some kind of transformation to occur. In the prayer that was done, in the request that was made by me, you know, they were both requests to have to do something, you know, that would heal this relationship, and it occurred. So I'm really thankful for that. You know, I'm really, really thankful for that, because one of the things that's difficult for me is to be at odds with people, you know. Even if I think I'm right, and even if I know I'm not, you know, it's still difficult for me. So I'm really, really thankful for that. And I'm going to send it back to you so we can kind of go back and forth, because there's a couple of, you know, there's some more things that I would like to share. But what about you, Leon? I remember you telling me you made this delicious dish for Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, this week for me has really been about cooking. So I made
it's
some.
It's really been about what?
Cooking.
Cooking, yes, it has.
You know, and sharing myself through cooking. And I say transforming lives through my cooking. You know, you know, I made some of my world famous fish cakes, mm-hmm. and actually I made two batches. I made one week before last, and then I made another batch this week, and then I made I've been experimenting. So I made this cabbage dish that I tried once before, and it turned out really nice. And I made cabbage with some hot peppers and apples and raisins, and just a delicious hot and spicy and sweet type of a dish that really dance on your palate. I also made some a sweet potato casserole, I call it, but it basically what it is mashed sweet potatoes with pineapples, nutmeg, cinnamon, a little sugar and butter, and then bake it. So it's kind of like a you know, I call it a casserole, but it's basically mashed and baked sweet potatoes. Very, very, you know, one of the things that that is really a family Thanksgiving recipe that I've taken on. And then I made a seafood quiche. I found a little cookbook, seafood and fish cookbook, and they had in it. You know, I've made quiches. I haven't made quiches in quite a few years, and in it they had a seafood quiche. So I threw the house in this sucker. I had clams and calamari and oysters and I guess imitation crab meat. And but the thing that was interesting with it, and what I did is I sauteed some peppers and onions. So I sauteed them first. Then I put them in and put everything else, you know, the cream and the whatnot. But how I topped it was I carved up some red peppers, and I sliced them very thin, and I lined them around like a spokes of a wheel around it. And so I'll have to share a picture of it with you, but it actually looked lovely. you know when you look at, you know, you look at your work of art and it's like, wow, that really is lovely. You know. and I had some Stilton cheese, which is like in the Parmesan family, and some cheddar cheese, and that with the seafood and the peppers and onions and everything else that was in it, just was really scrumptious. So so I've been extending my giving through meals. And then I had this one last meal, I'll tell you, and that was I put together some garbanzo beans with onions and peppers, and I put that over some baby spinach leaves, and I got to tell you, that was also quite delectable. So I've been having fun. I've been experimenting. I've been trying some things. I've been extending some things and making some other things happen. So I've really, really been enjoying myself this week and enjoying cooking.
That sounds great. I did not cook one thing. I don't think I've cooked in 2 weeks. You know, I grabbed a yogurt or something like that, and that is about it. I heated up something. I've been, because I had leftovers from everywhere that I went. And like I said, we've just been going. But I did not cook one thing. I said I was going to make sweet potato pies, but I didn't even do that. I didn't cook anything. But I certainly did enjoy every place I went. Every place I went, I enjoyed it. Like I said, this was a give, and this was truly a season of giving thanks and giving and receiving. I also had the opportunity one day last week to a friend of mine treated me to whatever I wanted.
Wow, that's great.
And I'm really thankful for that experience, you know. It was really, really nice. Really, really nice. And it's interesting because when you receive like that, it puts you, you know, okay, what can I give? You know, what can I give? That what do I have that will make someone as happy as that made me? You know, and it just, it keeps going. It just keeps going. It's something about that, you know, that receiving and giving. I can remember a time where I would not have been open to receiving. And I was, and this is probably one of the first times I would actually say that I have been open to receiving at this particular level. And it was interesting, and it was really something that I had to be with. You know, it was kind of like be with what is. Not like that. That's really what it was. I never think of receiving as being difficult to do. But when you're not used to it, you have to be with it. Just like anything else. So that was interesting. That was very, very interesting also. Did you hear any good music over the last week, Glenn? Any new music?
Well, I have a, I've been playing. I have a pretty big collection, and one of the things that I noticed is that I've been playing a lot more music lately. So I noticed that one of the things that I've looked to celebrate is my inner being's connection to music, and noticing how that serves me and serves my spirit, and so I've just been really present to that, probably in the last couple of weeks, especially, and noticed the inclusion of it, because it's been a missing. Because although days and weeks and not necessarily forget to kind of play the music, and so lately it's been very evident for me as part of my my generative way of being to include music as a practice to soothe the savage beast in me, and to really just expand the possibilities of my creations. So that's what I've noticed around music. What about you?
I don't think I heard anything new, but what I did enjoy was some music I hadn't heard in a long, long time. And actually, the composer has made his transition, but his name is Robert Mays. And he was a great New Thought songwriter, and had this real powerful way of writing lyrics and things that would empower you to do certain things. And so I heard a CD that someone had made from an old tape of the music that he had written with the choir that he led at the time. And it was just beautiful. It was really, I couldn't listen to it enough, to hear the such a difference in, in certain things like, and what it had me present to was how music was at one time with all the live instruments and things. And I'm noticing now that most of the instruments, the live instruments, are now in church, and the synthesized sound is everywhere else. And at one time, you would hear actual horns and, different things like that, just really musicians, live music, and now most of it is not that way, unless you're listening to classical or jazz, like that. So that was something that was really, really interesting just to kind of take notice of, was the music, and preparing for the music that's coming out, that you'll be listening to for the next kind of month or so. We did a show one time about favorite holiday music, and that's one of my favorite shows. Maybe we'll do that again this season. But that was really nice about the music. Did you watch any great movies or go to any plays or anything last week?
Well, it's interesting. Before we move off the movie, one of the things that I didn't notice today is that there were a couple of the songs that I recalled when I was back in the choir singing and was kind of moved by those songs in the choir. And I noticed a couple times the thought crossed my mind of joining the choir again. So I noticed, so when you talk about music and you know, extending yourself and giving of yourself, you know, that was one of the things that came to mind. But I did go, I have not been to the movies, and I can't remember the last time I went to the movies. I mean, it was, my goodness, it was really been that long. And so I went to the movies, and I saw Lincoln. And I really was moved by what he had to go through to pass the 13th Amendment. And, you know, that's basically what the movie's about. It's a movie of his personal life, the situations and the conversations that he was probably having with the folks in Congress, as well as the as his party, his cabinet, his wife, and his sons, in terms of what, who he had to be. And there's a scene in there when they're getting ready to vote, and they actually bring black people, some black men, into the Congress to actually listen to the vote. And, you know, I was just moved to tears as to what it must have been like for those men to be included in that conversation inside of the quote-unquote power circle of United States at that point in time, and that, and how rigorously that they were opposed to women's vote, because of course in the debates that preceded it, they talked about, well, if you give the Negro the vote, the next thing you'd be looking to do is give the women the vote, and of course, you know, that was even beyond their comprehension at that point in time, and they were grappling with the you know, giving the Negro the vote, as they said back then. And although some of them weren't as kind in their description of us, but it was interesting movie. I don't think that it's going to hit the big time, only because when I looked around in the movie theater, they're mostly people my age and older who had probably studied and known of Lincoln and wanted to find out this insight that the movie was sharing. So it was interesting. It was interesting to see. I've been a buff, somewhat of a history buff, as of recent, and Lincoln has certainly been one of the most influential presidents that I know of in the history of the United States. And the work that he did with the 13th Amendment obviously gave us as African Americans the right to be equal. And that was the start of quite a few conversations. But the thing, when you look at it back, the back and forthness of it was to really, you know, the compromising and the concessions that people have to make in order to make this thing happen. And I was reminded of what that work that we're looking to do now around the fiscal cliff is, the same kind of work where we've got the, you know, people are in one camp or the other camp, and we've got to bridge that gap and and work together and figure out what needs to be done to move us forward as a nation collectively for the collective benefit of all of us and not just a few. So that's what I saw.
That's a good message, really good message.
Yeah.
No. Really,
so what
really
about you? Did you see any movies and any anything that kind of impacted you, shifted you?
You know, I didn't go to a movie, but I did watch, you know, DVDs. And interesting, I watched Eat, Pray, Love. I was actually watching that earlier today. I was watching Why Did I Get Married?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was watching two other movies. Evan Almighty, I watched that. And there was one other. Oh, Burlesque. And it was interesting because, I love movies with a happy ending. that's my style. That's what I can handle. But the meanings, you know, like what I noticed about all of these movies, there were women who were not just women. I shouldn't say women, but there were women and men in all of the movies who were attempting to transform their lives. You know, and they were following, some following their dreams, some following spirit, that spirit was guiding them to do things, and all of those, you know, like in all of those movies. I'm glad you asked, because I didn't even notice how this kind of thread, the similar thread that goes through all of those movies, you know. My favorite character and characters, or couple, I should say, in Why Did I Get Married was the Jill Scott character and the officer, you know, the sheriff.
Yeah,
because they, you know, they were going through some stuff, but they were able to find a way to help each other through this, like, really, really rough time that both of them were having, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they just worked it out, and they just, you know, and that was good. And then in Evan Almighty, you know, that was like him listening, listening to God, as crazy as it seemed to everybody else, but he was just listening and doing, you know. Eventually he had to surrender because he fought it at first, but listening, you know, to the degree that he could do what he was being asked to do, and for a purpose that he didn't understand, but he was just obedient, you know. What was the other one was Burlesque, you know, like everything that main character did to get to where she wanted to be on that stage, and being able to help someone else, you know, who had also helped her. So that was like that Thanksgiving thing, that giving and receiving, you know, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
mm-hmm.
Then the Eat, Pray, Love, you know, that's just this journey that that main character was on to find herself, you know, to find who she really wanted to be and how she wanted to be. Who she wanted to be. So, that's kind of where I was, and I watched those, you know, like in between all of the places that I went. It was really a time of family, extended family, and extended family, you know, had. We had people come in from California, like actually Northern California and Southern California, but two different families. And I don't know if I shared with you a gentleman. I went to a really amazing transition service yesterday. It had so much meaning to it. A gentleman who, I guess, you know, back in the day, I would have referred to him as an uncle because he was the father of two people who I grew up with. And they actually lived in the same house that we lived in. They just lived on the second floor. And it was their father who had made his transition. And so the service was yesterday. And the interesting story about this, Glenn, is he had 22 children.
I think you spoke to me about him. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
22 children, and they were all friends. They were all friends.
Yes.
Okay, and they all are very professional people, you know. You know, as a child, you hear certain things, and all you know is that there are these 2, 3, 4 families, and, you know, that wasn't very popular. It's like okay now, but it wasn't popular when I was growing up. That was not popular. And these 22 children actually came from 4 women. And one of the children didn't even know that they were a part of this until about 15 years ago. And she happened to be in Chicago and needed the services of a chiropractor. And her brother that she didn't know was her brother is the chiropractor that she was referred to. And when she went to his office and recognized his name, last name, she mentioned it to him, you know, something like my mother, you know, said that my dad's name, that was my dad's last name or something, you know, like that. I'm not sure about the specific details, but it was something like that, and that's how she kind of found out.
Wow.
She had over 7, or there were over 7 children in her family by her mom. So it was just this great, big, you know, like extended family that exists. His belief was men were put here to create nations. And I can remember him saying that as a child. I could hear him because he would have meetings with all of the men in the family. And he would teach them that. And, you know, like I said, in that day, that wasn't real popular. And in his day, he just happened to deal with women who just moved on with their life and let him go to whoever the next person was, you know, like that. And, you know, that's not right, like right after that generation, it wasn't real popular, and women kind of weren't going along with that. So it didn't, you know, it didn't do as it wasn't as easy with that next generation, I'll just say it that way. But for him, like I said, there were 4 women, and one woman had the one child, one woman had 2, one had 7, and one had 12. And they called themselves clusters. They called themselves cluster 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they have names to those clusters. And at the service, each cluster got up and did a tribute. And honest to God, listening to one was like listening to the other. 111 grandchildren and 69 great-grandchildren.
Wow. Now, that's a nation. That's a nation up for there.
That's a nation. And it was interesting because, you know, the grandchildren spoke and men spoke. He did things for veterans. You know, he had an I'm not sure it was so many different things, but he did something for everyone, and he went to every graduation, every music recital, every whatever it was with all of these people. He went. He was there. And that's what they talked about. They talked about what they learned from him, what they, you know, all of the different things. They have a foundation to make sure that all of the children get to college.
Mm-hmm.
So the older ones, you know, as their careers, you know, do what they do, then they contribute to make sure that the younger siblings and grandchildren and great-grandchildren have the same opportunity. It's something that needs to be in a magazine or a book or something like that, you know. But so I had the opportunity to see my friends that, you know, I grew up with and, you know, spend some time with them and then really just hear another side of who this man really was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his other contributions, you know, his other contributions to the universe. So that was really something, and I'm looking forward to really, like, sharing some more time with them in the next couple of days because they'll be here until Tuesday. So that was like an amazing, you know, like, experience and being thankful and not judgmental, you know, because you really don't know. You really don't know what their purpose is. What spirit has led them to do. You know, one of the things I can say is that he is probably the first person that I know who had children that really, they never called each other half-sister or half-brother or step-sisters or step-brothers. It was never that. It was always, this is my sister, this is my brother. You know, and now that seems to be a trend that people are picking up. They're kind of dropping that description of how they arrived here and how they're connected, just that they're brother and sister, you know. So that was interesting. What else did you do?
Well, you know, you speaking on the movies, I sat through Gone with the Wind. This is the second time I've watched the whole movie and was pretty moved by who Clark Gable was and who he was standing for the whole time. And Scarlett O'Hara, you know, I was kind of sad because she got who he was for her, but it was too late for him. And he was out the door, but you know, I look back at the scenes, I look back at some of the depiction of the South and the Civil War and the relationships that people had, and that someone who thought differently than most of the people in the South at that point in time. Because he was from Charlotte, and so he wasn't from the quote-unquote deep south of Atlanta. And, you know, this whole mindset and the thinking, and, you know, and you think, you know, and what I was left with is that in this day and age, to think differently than the masses of people around you and to say it and to not be ashamed and not to feel like you need to compromise or be inside of it, but just to get who you are and what you're up to. You know, that whole conversation, be with what is. Mm-hmm. You know, be with what is. You are what you are. You know, and it's not about you trying to be somebody else or something else. you know, you stand for yourself. And, you know, it was interesting to watch that inside of the whole feeling of Thanksgiving and to notice the relationship and her reaction and for me, her finding out when her sister passed away and her sister and that her sister was a rock the whole movie. Her sister was always the benevolent one, always the unselfish one, always the forgiving one. And when she passed away, the character, Scarlett O'Hara, got to see that the feeling she had for her sister's husband, he didn't share that with her, and that she had been pining for him all of her life, and that the real gift she let walk away. So you know, it was an interesting storyline inside of that, because they showed a lot of the different classic movies this weekend, you know, because they knew people were going to be around. So it was just interesting conversation to watch unfold inside of this week of Thanksgiving and to look to see what all that I'm thankful for. So,
that's a good point. I mean, that's a really, really, really good point, you know, how we look at things or how things are right in front of our face and we don't see them. You know, or how one little act of kindness can change the whole energy around a group. You know, just the food. You know, when you talked about the food, I'm remembering the pinch of fish you left me in New Jersey. And how good it was, you know, just really the kind of love that goes into making dishes like that, you know, like to take your time enough to have something taste that delicious. That's an act of kindness in my book, you know. That's really, really appreciated, because I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having food that wasn't tasty on Thanksgiving, but there's like, if you've ever had that experience, it makes you go more places than you had planned to, because you're hunting down that taste, you know. It's like, okay, no, I haven't had Thanksgiving yet or whatever. But, you know, to put that kind of love into a meal is really, really good, especially for the people who are coming to dinner, you know. But this was just a great, great experience and a great week. And I got a chance to spend a lot of time with my great niece, who was just the love of our lives, you know, and that's always cool too, to me, to watch the children grow up, you know. And one of the people, when we went to dinner Thanksgiving evening, one of the people said, I just can't get over this group of people right here who are old enough to have a drink, you know. Like, you know, like they're old enough to have a drink now, and they are, you know. So it's really, Thanksgiving is really a fun time and a really a great time to share and really get a lot of lessons, you know, like the lessons we talked about tonight, you know, with the movies and the music. And, you know, just thinking about things, get in, you know, Glenn, get in that choir That would be wonderful. You know, and it's funny that you mentioned that because I've been thinking about it myself because I've been out of a choir for 2 years now. And I'm just kind of, I've just been having this, okay, I'm ready to get back in the choir, you know. But just the time, you know, the time for the rehearsals and this and this and this and this. So I'm going to enjoy the music one more season and really take a look at maybe joining a choir or two next year. There's a group here, I don't know that if they have it in New York, but it's called the, you know the three tenors, the original three tenors? The one guy, he was the middle voice, I think. Brown skin guy. I can't believe I can't think of his name, but he does, oh my goodness, it's the, what's the one that you like so much, Glenn? The holiday, the Hallelujah chorus, right?
Oh, yes, yeah, Messiah.
Okay, the Messiah. Well, he does Too Hot to Handle. That's the name of it.
Okay.
Every year, it's Too Hot to Handle. And it's a group of singers from all over, you know, all over the Chicagoland area who come together and they start rehearsing in September. And they put on this Too Hot to Handle, and it's different pieces from the Messiah, but they're done in a jazz, with a jazz orchestra.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
It is wonderful. You all really have to come and see that. They do it twice, once I think before Christmas and once after Christmas, and I'm going to check it out and see. But you would love it. You would just love it. And so he, there's that choir, you know, but everything, he and his wife, and he always has one other singer who do the lead, and then all of these wonderful singers do the background. But it's like really, really nice. So music is, you know, it's just time for some good music to go on, you know?
Well, you know, it's interesting because Byron actually made some of his own music and actually sent me some music recently that he's been recording. And he's been recording over the last, you know, probably about 10 years or so. So a couple compilations. And so that was another, you know, I talked with his music partner. And so that was pretty interesting just to kind of touch base with him. You know, and and in retrospect, I just look back. I have so much to be thankful of. You know, my daughter came down the Tuesday before the week before Thanksgiving, and I spent a couple hours with her that Tuesday morning, you know, the family went out to breakfast, and you know, just sat and chatted with her a little bit, and it's just, you know, she's growing up and to now be having these adult conversations with her about her career and what, you know, her life and some of the things that she's doing. You know, you really come full circle in terms of, you know, what is your life for? You know, what are you doing with your life? You know, what's possible? And the gift that is, the gift that watching her grow up, watching her, you know, take her rank in the adult conversations, and watching, you know, and providing whatever guiding and coaching that you can as an adult. All of that inclusive, you know, really has me be thankful. You know, has me be thankful for my life, has me be thankful that my mother's still alive at 86. and has got her full facilities and is able to communicate, and we can laugh and joke and poke fun at each other. I'm just left with the powerful presence of life and the possibility, the preciousness of the possibility that it is. Because we could very easily be negative and depressed and upset, or we can choose to really be uplifting and powerful and looking for, you know, what is it that we're going to generate next.
Mm-hmm.
The sermon in church this morning was what is truth, and what is your truth, what is the truth that you're seeking for yourself inside of your relationship with God, and the Minister Dawn talked about, you know, the opportunity that life is, and it was interesting. She talked about, you know, whose truth is truth, fact or not, or is it a belief? That, you know, or common belief makes a fact, and she talked about some of the things that we look at, and left you in the conversation of what is your faith and how do you practice your faith is based on who you are as a spiritual being, and not necessarily as a church entity, but as your relationship to God and how you practice it. And that might be inside of a church setting, or that might be your own personal setting, and that it really is about choice and about choosing. And so what I was left with was just the powerful opportunity that we have in life to choose and to be at choice inside of who we're being, and what we do.
That's really, really cool, and a great message too. Ours was about prosperity, like the purpose of prosperity, the practice of prosperity, and there was one other three things, but the one that means the most to this conversation is that the purpose of your being prosperous is so that you can give at a level where it affects change. So
Ooh.
You can give. That's the purpose.
Same thing, girl. Same thing.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you want to be prosperous, because you want to be able to do for others, and not just think, if I had this, I would. But it is to choose to be so prosperous that you can do whatever it is that you choose to do, when you choose to do it. Just a wonderful. Well, this, Glenn, has been a wonderful, wonderful hour with you. And I can't get off this or end this program without saying how thankful I am for you, your family, your friends, all of the wonderful things that you have done for me as a friend, as a brother, as a host. I thank you for every call that you've been on and every show that you've done, spur of the moment, when life took me in different directions. I thank you for being here every week, whether you're here, your voice is here, whether you're here in spirit. I appreciate you so much. And I'm really thankful for you as well.
Yeah, and I'm equally thankful for you as well, because it takes something to produce this conversation week to week. And it takes something to generate who you've been being. And it takes something to stand in the face of uncertainty and no agreement, and still stand for the things that you have. I'm clear that the Birmingham Summit was out of your commitment, and what you saw as the possibility of it, and you went for it, and it didn't matter who saw it or who didn't, but you went for it and made it yours. And I just want to acknowledge, because that's who you are as a person. You know, that's who you be in the world. And sometimes it's not gratifying, and it's not, and you don't feel thanked, and you don't feel served. But yet, you know, you in those circumstances, you've still produced the result. So I just want to acknowledge who you've been being and the gift that you are to me as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glenn, did we have, I was just looking to see if there was a caller who might be on.
We have one caller I think we've got somebody in the chat room as well, but
okay.
They haven't put their hand up, so.
Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving to them, and just we send our love and thank you again for being with us. We're talking about taking some time off just for your information. So if you listen to us during the month of December, you may hear pre-recorded shows or shows from from previous holidays. But they are very entertaining, so don't hang up. Just listen to them. They'll be a lot of fun, or we'll be here. God bless you, and thank you so much, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. Peace and blessings.
Good night.
Good night.